This morning, I'm excited to preach this message to you about the image of God. Do we have that? There you go. Look at that. Image of God. And so I don't normally preach messages specifically for, just regular holidays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, all that stuff. If I did that all year long, I wouldn't get to preach anything else. But I really felt led to do this year, and with some of the things that we're dealing with in our society, I want to take some focus and look at the image of God in women and mothers, but just women in particular. And so, just thinking back on some things, how many of you guys learned a couple of lessons from your mom throughout the years? That's my mom right there. The reason I have to keep my hair a little bit longer so you don't see all the lumps on my head. I learned a lot of lessons from my mom, but I was reflecting on some things that these weren't necessarily all my mom, probably most of them, but probably a lot of things that you have learned as well. Our moms have taught us to appreciate a job well done. If you have a sibling, you've probably heard something like, if you guys are going to kill each other, then do it outside because I just cleaned in here, right? So you appreciate a job well done. We learned about religion from our mothers. You better pray that Kool-Aid saying comes out of my carpet, right? So we had to learn about prayer there. We learned about my brain, it's not working. But we learned about time travel from our mom. Any of you guys, mom, teach you about time travel, right? If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. And I'm like, well, that's not very, I do have a test coming up on Friday. That actually would be great. Do I get a time travel grade on that? We learned about logic from our mothers, because I said so, that's why, right? So that's the logical answer. We've learned about foresight from our moms, and this is specifically from my mother, so if this is unique to us, then you can maybe talk to her about it afterwards, but I was always told that I needed to have clean underwear on in case I got in an accident. Why are they going to look at my underwear when I get in an accident? I don't understand. I guess the gown you got to put on. But so I learned a little bit about foresight. You learn about irony from your mom, right? You keep on crying and I'll give you something to cry about. How is that going to help me? I'm already crying here. We learned about the science of osmosis from our mothers, right? Shut your mouth and eat your supper. How am I supposed to do that? That doesn't make sense to me. We learned about stamina from our mothers. You're going to sit there until you eat everything that is on your plate. That may not be a current trend, but that's how it was when I was a kid. In fact, I remember my brother sitting there with food he refused to eat. I am not doing it. I'll sit here all night long. It was the night of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Tim ate his food. Tim was sitting in front of the TV, and he's like, dude, it's starting. They're announcing the starting lineups. And my brother balled all that food together, literally mashed it into a ball and went, shoved it in his mouth and came running. But hey, he learned right there. You got to have that stamina. You either wait it out or you got to do something. We learned about the circle of life from our mothers. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. So she's apparently the beginning and the end as well. We learned about anticipation. This could go either way. It's either just wait until we get home or just wait until your father gets home, which is the one that I heard many, many times. We learn about our roots from our mothers. Would you shut that door behind you? Were you born in a barn? I don't know, Mom, was I? I was not actually there. I was, but I don't remember. We'll have wisdom from our parents. When you get my age, you will understand, and that's one of the truest things that I do remember that, and that has come true. And then we learn about justice from our moms, and I wish that they wouldn't say stuff like this to us, but one day you will have your own kids and they will turn out just like you. Not very nice. Don't speak that over your children, because it's that is justice, I suppose. So today we are going to honor women in this place for Mother's Day, and I really want to look at how do we see the heart and the character of God in women. So I want to take you back to creation for just a moment, and there's this part of the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. male and female, he created them. Okay, so in the image of God, God created male, God created female. And there's a lot of times in the church, we really associate a male role model, a male subject as God, because Jesus came as a man, right? Okay, God the Father is clearly a man. The Holy Spirit is referenced to as he, and so we kind of get this picture that the perfect image of God is a man. Praise God that that is not true, that we as men are not the perfect image of God. He also created women in his image, and to get a full picture of what God looks like outside of Jesus Christ, okay, he is the full picture of what God looks like, but around today when we look at people, to get a full picture, we got to see images of God through men and through women both. So specifically, I want to look at some women today, and Proverbs 31, verses 25 to 31, it says this: strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and her loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor, and let her works praise her at the city gates. And so if you're not familiar with this passage, it is part of the Proverbs 31, this virtuous wife. There's whole ministries based on this proverb, but it's really a reflection of what a godly woman should look like. And I see these attributes, I see these characteristics, and what we see is that it's the image of God through women, okay? And so I know that there may be some of you in here that you're not mothers yet, or maybe you never have been and don't have plans to be, or whatever the case is, but I want to tell you this morning that this still applies to you, because you all are spiritual mothers to somebody around you, right? We all have an impact on the people around us. So even if you don't have kids of your own, these are the characteristics of what a godly woman should look like. If you don't know this, we even have some high school kids who help up in the children's church upstairs. And if you think about this, they're helping these little kids. They're serving them, and they're teaching them, and they're even being spiritual mothers to little kids up there. So this is an overflow thing that we see all through different ages, and I want to look at what does this look like. How does this practically apply to our lives today? So verse 25 said, strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. How many of you know some women who are strong, right? You know some strong women? Every man that's with a woman better raise their hand right now, or you're going to find out how strong. A good elbow to the ribs, okay? But strength and honor, it says, are her clothing. See, a woman of God who knows the Lord, who relies on Jesus, who seeks his presence, she wears strength and honor like they're her clothes. See, because these are things from God that cover up her weakness. These are things that God gives to her that covers her up. We were at a baseball game on Thursday. I think it was Thursday night. It was so cold outside. Ridiculously cold, and as the fans and were sitting there watching our kids play this game, I found it to be funny one time as I'm sitting there with my two hoodies on, and I turn around and I see all these women covered up with blankets, every one of them. I didn't see any men covered up with blankets, but all the women were covered up with blankets, and it was enough to get them through the game, but then the JV game started. And so everybody who didn't have a JV kid's like, I'm out of here. This is enough. And so then my wife was actually covered up with two blankets, and I was covered up with one. I got a blanket for myself. But this kind of showed me this picture, this image here that in our weakness, sitting there cold and we didn't have what we needed to survive in that moment on our own, and with the blankets upon us, it was like, you know what, we can get through this. Many people left. If they didn't have a blanket, they were gone. And with the blankets upon us, we were like, you know what? We can do this. It's really not that bad. And when we think about women who are clothed with strength and honor from the Lord, they can get through all these things that they're too weak to get through on their own. Strong women. We just assume that strong women are thick-skinned, that they have short memories, that things don't bother them, that they just let things roll off their back. But I want to tell you that that's probably, if you really dig down and ask questions, it's probably not true. They have this covering upon them, if they are women of God, that they have this strength in the Lord that helps them to process and deal with these things. When they have the strength of the Lord and they're connected to Jesus, it's a covering over them to give them strength that they may not otherwise have. And she wears honor. When you think about this word honor, it actually means here the beauty of holiness. She wears upon her what the Holy Spirit has done in her. See, the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives begins to reflect on the outside of our lives. It begins to show through, and it's a covering that is over us. And so when this happens, when they have this clothing of strength and of honor, this is when you get to that point where she can laugh at the things to come. See, whatever life throws at her, whatever her kids do, whatever her husband does, whatever her workplace does, whatever her friends do, whatever these things are that come at her, if she's clothed with strength and honor, she can just laugh at those things like, you know what, that's really nothing. It's really nothing because Jesus is in me, right? Jesus is greater and he will get me through this. Proverbs 31:26 says, her mouth speaks wisdom and loving instruction is on her tongue, right? Mothers have great wisdom. I was reflecting, I've shared before that I kind of wish that I was real musical. I wish I could sing. I wish I could play instruments because I love music. And so I was reflecting on music today, and I kept thinking of all these things that mamas said through music, and some were one or two were through movies. But we have, though, Mama said there'll be days like this. Remember when she said that? Wasn't that great? Was that the Shirelles? Nobody knows who the Shirelles is, but everybody knows that Mama said there'll be days like this. That's very wise. We thank you for that. Also from Forrest Gump's mom, she said, Mama said, life's like a box of chocolates. You never know which one you're going to get. That's not true. I always get the box that has the picture on the back, where I know exactly which one I'm eating. That's not a gamble that Tim Caraway is willing to risk in his life. But one of my favorites, Michael Jackson's mom, right? Michael Jackson's mama said, be careful what you do. Don't go around breaking young girls' hearts. Right? I mean, you remember that? It was great wisdom from his mom. LL Cool J, his mama said something that I used to tell my brother all the time. Mama said, knock you out. I'm going to knock you out. And then we try to knock each other out. Mamas give great wisdom, but they do give good wisdom, but it's not just that they give great advice. It's not just that they give these one-liners that we think of, but the word tells us here that loving instruction is on her tongue. Loving instruction. I don't know about the rest of the men in this place, but I'm totally fine giving my kids instruction, but it's not always loving instruction. It's usually pretty like, do it now or else, right? I kind of get a little irritated, a little aggravated. Sometimes it's kind of harder and a little bit more raw. And I want to tell you that that can be an attribute of God, right? There's times where God speaks very firmly and very like, do it now to us. Okay, he still does it in love, but I'm telling you that it's a little bit more firm. It's something that you would expect from a father that you wouldn't necessarily always expect from a mother. So God does work through men like that, but ladies have this like loving instruction that they give, this side of God that they show that oftentimes men fail at. This shows us the part of God that's a little more nurturing. Right? It's a little more grace-filled. It's something in it that God has put in women that bears his image. There's a lot of times when we're going to talk to our kids about something that's hard, me and Christy talk it out first, right? And I'm kind of like, well, this is kind of where I'm thinking we come in at. And she's like, that is not going to work. like, all you're going to do is make them mad. And I'm like, okay, what's your idea? Okay, let's go with that. Do I need to be there? No, I like to be there. But so this works. It's an image of God, and thank God for it. We need that. Verse 27 says, she watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Some of you guys are like, she's never idle. You used to see her sit on the couch and watch TV, playing on her phone. Dude, you're sitting in the recliner. Be quiet, okay? But God has created women, it says, to watch over the activities of her household. See, God has created women to be watchmen over their household. They're given this innate knowing. If you guys don't know this already, hopefully you've figured this out, but husbands and kids can relate. There's things that the mom of the house knows that you're like, how in the world does she know that? Right? How does she know that? Where did she get that from? I'm just going to tell you straight up, she knows everything. Mama knows everything. You might as well just get used to that. Don't be trying to hide nothing from her. And I'm glad she does, because God has given her this mantle of watchman, of protector over your house. Listen, my wife has tremendous discernment, and if she tells me something, I listen to her. I do, because I believe that God speaks to her and speaks through her, and I believe that he tells her a lot of stuff that protects me, but only if I'm willing to listen and recognize that God has raised her up to be a watchman for our house. If you guys have walked down our sidewalk out here, who has walked down the sidewalk to the left here? Ty and Carrie were harassing my pet bird on Sunday night as they came to the membership meal. I could hear the bird outside, and I'm like, well, somebody else is here out there pestering my pet. No, but we have this killdeer bird that's in the rocks. If you don't know that, they nest in the rocks. And that bird, right, is a watchman over that nest. Now, typically around here, those birds, if you start to approach the nest, they run off and they fall down, they flap their wing, like they try to lure you away from the nest. This one doesn't do that. Not at first. She just comes at you. Like, I mean, right at you. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'll start going around the back or something. Like, what's your problem? But what I see with this bird, right? This bird is like, I'm a watchman of this nest. I'm taking care of my babies. I'm not going to let any harm come this way. That's a position that God has called women to over their households. I don't know if you realize this, but women don't rest. Mamas don't rest. When my kids are out, right, when they are at work, you know what I do? When I'm tired, I go to bed. I just go to sleep. I'm like, they'll get home, right? They got cars. They know where we live. They got a key. I'm going to sleep. Christy doesn't go to sleep. And if she does, it's like she's sleeping with one eye open, waiting for them to get home. It's because she has that watchman piece that God has built into her, where she has to watch over the household and make sure that they get home no matter what time it is. A godly woman is never idle. It doesn't mean that she's always up, moving, doing things, but she's always watching. She's always on alert. She's always aware of what is going around. And so beware. When it looks like she's doing nothing, she's still watching. This characteristic of women reflects the image of God. God is always watching. Amen? I don't know if you realize that, but he is always watching. There's multiple scriptures that talk about this, and they talk about how his eyes are going to and fro across the earth, right? He's constantly scanning and seeing what is going on down here, probably a lot of times looking at the church and thinking, what are you guys doing? Right? Get with it. You want to turn America around? It's going to start with you, not with the politician that's not saved. It's going to start with you. But God is always watching, and this is what this characteristic we see in mothers, this is what it shows us, a God who is always watching. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Two things here that should happen for women of God. And this isn't just for your family at home, but this can be in church by your spiritual family. We should call them blessed, and we should praise them. Amen? We should call them blessed, and we should praise them. When we call them blessed, we are pronouncing blessing over them. We speak it out that regardless of how you think you're doing, right? Ladies are very, very hard on themselves, typically. We, as men and as their children, as the others around them, need to speak these blessings, pronounce these blessings over them and say, you know what? You are awesome, right? I pronounce this over you, that I speak it out, that no matter what you believe about yourself, no matter how you think you're doing today, that you are an image bearer of God, that you, as a child of God, you are marvelous, right? You are wonderfully made. There's nothing wrong with you, and you are doing a good job. You are blessed today. We recognize who she is in Christ. When she fails in her own strength, we say, yeah, but you are strong in the Lord. Look at what God has done through you. We just proclaim these things over them, and then we praise them. We praise them. This means that we shine light on them. We shine this light. Church, this is part of what we are going to do today. It's part of the idea of Mother's Day and looking at ladies. We want to shine light on these ladies and reveal what Christ has done through them. Build them up, right? Let's build them up because they have done great things for the kingdom of God. Amen? Verse 30. We're almost done here. Verse 30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Charm and beauty, man, they can fool us. They can be gone before we know it. And in a world of people who are attracted to people's personalities and attracted to people's appearance, there is nothing more attractive, more beautiful than a woman who loves the Lord. Amen? That I should not have had to provoke an amen there. There's nothing more attractive than a woman who loves the Lord, okay? And so a woman who loves and honors Jesus, I want to tell you this morning that I am not one of those men that's like, women shouldn't wear makeup, they shouldn't do their hair. Listen, I do my hair with a towel. I dry it off. It's good to go, right? I'm not saying that you shouldn't do any of that stuff. What I'm saying is, a lot of times women will spend hours in front of the mirror to prepare to go somewhere. And I'm saying that if you're going to do that, if that's what you want to do because it's what makes you feel pretty, what makes you feel good, while you're doing that, why don't you also look in that mirror and see a child of God? Why don't you also look in that mirror and see who God created you to be? It doesn't mean that you can't wear makeup, but look at who he's created you to be. Have that confidence that God made me. God loves me. Begin to speak those blessings and the word of God over your own life as you're looking in that mirror, and believe. Believe that as you say these things, as you declare the word of God over your life, that this is who God says I am. Like, it doesn't matter who anyone else says I am. It doesn't matter if someone else thinks I'm pretty or if I'm not as pretty as this person. God loves me and says that I am special and valuable and wonderfully made, that he created me this way, right? I mean, believe those things and speak them. And so I believe that if we took all that time to worship the Lord and to seek his desire for our life, that we do getting ready for the day, I believe that not only will it make you have a better day and a better life, but it's going to bless the people around you. So just remember the deceptiveness of charm, the fleetingness of beauty, but if you fear the Lord, you will be praised for that. And verse 31 says, give her the reward of her labor and let her works praise her at the city gates. Right? This is for the rest of us. Some of you guys are like, man, I did not come to church to hear a sermon all about women today. What am I supposed to do as a man? Well, here you go. This is for the rest of us. We are to give the women of God, the reward or the fruit for their labor. We're supposed to reward them for their time, for their effort, for their energy. This praise is different than the other praise that was mentioned. It says that praise will be the reward. This is this is not the praise of people, but it says it's the praise of her works. When we produce the fruit of her labor, think about what we've talked about, what they do in our lives right now. When we produce the fruit of her labor, her strength, her holiness, her wisdom, her instruction, her watching and guiding us, when we reflect her relationship with Christ, when we produce godliness in our lives because of what she does in our lives, then the works themselves will publicly praise her. How is that? When people look at those that are around these women, when they look at her children and her husband and her coworkers and her friends and all these people she has an impact on, what will happen is if she has lived a godly life and if she has poured out whatever God has put in her to these other people, God will show other people this light that is in her. The light will begin to be shined on the work that she has done, and then that shines back to the work that Christ has done in her life. It's a full circle there. She gets the reward for her labor, and Jesus gets the reward for his. See, I'm thankful for the ladies in this place today. I'm thankful for each and every one, and again, I want you to remember today that even if you are not a mother yourselves, listen, even if your own children are not here or they're not around or whatever that is, remember that you have an opportunity to be spiritual mothers to those around you, right? Some of you may look around this room and you may be like, yes, that lady has poured into my family's life, right? As a man, maybe she hasn't ministered to you personally, but she's ministered to your family, your wife, your children. There's some impact that they've had in your life where it's like, man, I'm receiving the overflow and the blessing from what she has done. I'm thankful for that, right? And in these aspects that we've looked at, we see the image of God in God's creation of women, and it is a beautiful thing. So women, don't ever think that you are less. Work with what God has given you for this season. Work with what he's given you for right here, right now. I love Paul's greeting here in Romans chapter 16. He kind of lists off all these people to greet and be thankful for, and I kind of honed in on this one in verse 13. It says, greet Rufus. That's a strange woman's name. Greet Rufus. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Oh, it's a guy. Also his mother and mine. Right? Okay, so greet Rufus, also his mother and mine. See, Rufus's mom was in some way, shape, or form a mom to Paul. Rufus's mom was some kind of spiritual mother to Paul. And when you do that for someone, when you're a spiritual mother to someone else, you have no idea the impact that it could have on their lives. But I want to show you the impact that it had on Paul's life. This is what I believe is Rufus's mother. This is the praise of her works and the reward of her labor. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says this, although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you. As a nurse nurtures her own children, we cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also what? Our own lives. Because you had become dear to us, for you remember our labor and our hardship, brothers and sisters, working day and night so that we could not burden any of you. We preached the gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly and righteously and blamelessly we conducted ourselves with you believers. As you know, like a father with his own children, we encouraged, comforted, and implored each one of you to walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Guys, this is the kind of impact that Rufus's mother made on Paul. That is a spiritual mother, is someone that he would mention, right? Don't forget to greet Rufus, but also his mother and mine. Like, she's had an impact on my life, and we see the impact that has overflown through Paul into the people he has ministries over. Church, this is the goal right here. That spiritual mothers have an impact on each and every one of us so that we then would turn and we would encourage, we would care for, we would comfort, we would urge each other to walk with Jesus. Listen, we don't have to be in this place of, I've heard too many people be like, well, I'm not quite there yet. Listen, you don't have to have arrived. You don't have to be some kind of like spiritual giant to be a spiritual mother. You don't have to be a spiritual giant. You just have to work with what God has given you. Work with what you do know, right? It's about sharing your life with others. It's about sharing the word with others who are in the same place that you are in. It's about being real and acknowledging even to those other people where you need to grow too. Church, we all influence people. Every one of us, we influence people. There's no neutral, right? You might be like, well, I mean, I don't really influence anybody. I don't have kids. I don't do this. No, we all influence the people around us. We all do. Jeannie Mayo, world's greatest youth pastor, who's like 80 years old or something and still going strong, said, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Right? You do have influence on other people, and other people have influence on you. We all have this influence, so let's do it in the image of God. Let's influence people with the image of God. Let's be intentional. Let's be conscious of how we are influencing others. Because this is the work of God, that we would bear his image and we would lead others to Christ. Amen? The reward for our work leads to the reward for his. Would you stand with me this morning? Somebody would go out and get the ladies that are serving the children's church and nursery and just have them come back in as we close here in worship. I'll close with a blessing over the mothers, but right now I do want to just give you a moment here to let the word of God marinate in your heart as we worship. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you for this Proverbs 31. We thank you for Paul and the overflow that's come through him and from Rufus's mom. And Lord, your word is so, so good. We thank you for the image of God that you have put in women. Lord, that we need to see those things in them. We need to see that loving instruction. And God, we need to see that strength. And we need to see that holiness that they walk in. God, we need to see that in them because it shows us a better picture of who you are. And so, Lord, right now I just pray for each and every person in this place that whatever it is that you have for us out of the word today, Lord, that we'd receive it in our heart. As we worship you, as we lift high the name of Jesus, we just surrender ourselves and we say, Holy Spirit, come. Minister to my heart this morning, Lord. You know what I need. Your word says before I could even ask of it. And so right now as we worship you, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Show us who you are. Reveal Christ to us. Lord, the one who gave his life for us. The one who gives us everlasting life. That we don't have to be who we once were, but we are made new in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, reveal that to our hearts if we are yet to know that today. Draw us to Jesus this morning as we worship him. In Jesus' name, amen.